Well, welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Leslie Gold. Now, The Prophet is not only the best show on CNBC, in my opinion, it's one of the best shows on television. Successful entrepreneur Marcus Lemonis pumps his own cash and his considerable expertise into struggling businesses in an effort to turn them around. But the drama between him and the entrepreneurs who have started and nurtured and struggled and built these businesses just makes for great TV, and we also get a mini business school lesson in the process. The Prophet begins its third season on CNBC on Tuesday, May 12th, 10 p.m., and Marcus Lemonis joins me now. Hi, Marcus. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here, and I'm glad to know that you love the show. You seem to say it, but you explain it better than I do.
I love the show, and I have seen you get involved in all kinds of businesses, car dealerships, flower shops, a candy store, a fish market, you know, embroidery business. And I'm always wondering what you look for when you're investing. Is it a particular type of business? Is it scalability? Or is it a particular type of problem that you know you can fix?
You know, I get thousands of applications for people that want to participate in the process. And I have to be honest, what I'm oftentimes looking for is something that can challenge me, and something that where I feel I don't have a definite expertise and I can really learn something. And I also am intrigued by people's story, how they started the business, what they have invested, what they have to lose, and what's really wrong with the business. And while it happens to be on CNBC and it happens to be a business show, business isn't really always about numbers, right? It's really about people.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is what I'm always looking for, is a way to kind of get involved with people.
Well, that explains a lot, because sometimes I'll watch an episode and I'll go, what the hell does Marcus know about women's clothing? And I see now probably nothing.
You'd be surprised because I know a lot about men's clothing and I understand quality and I understand fabrication and I understand the manufacturing process and the merchandising process and the retailing process. But you know, this is the best advice I could give people. I think anybody in this country, if they just take their time for a minute, can use the kind of the same tools that I use, which is people, process, and product, and go into almost any business. We know that the product that people sell has to be relevant and real. We know that the process has to be smooth, and you can go into your local dry cleaner and tell me in 5 minutes if it's a good process. If your clothes come back wrinkled and it takes 25 minutes to pick them up, you know that things are broken. But at the end of the day, it's also more important to realize, are you doing business with people that you can count on, that you can trust, that are going to trust you, and that are moldable and are malleable enough to looking at things differently? And that really is the big question for people. Are they willing to change?
One of the things I've learned from watching the show, one of the many things, is that I saw you bestow your own title on a product. Now, I know that this, you had trouble with this deal later on, but that aside, I believe, if I remember correctly, you anointed Brooklyn Burgers the official burger of New York, saying, well there wasn't one and there's no, you know, governing board
right.
of burgers in New York.
Right.
And you decreed it and it happened. And I thought that was the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. And I've used it in my own enterprise since then. So that was amazing.
Well, it's almost like saying that your radio show, which is one of the most popular, is the official radio show of weekends.
Right.
It's like, who said it's not? I mean, and who stops you from saying it? And it's interesting, but if you make it the official burger of New York, it's like, well, is there somebody that's going to tell you you can't? And,
right.
you know, it's really more of an example of how you could think outside the box than it is that particular example, right? It's about how to think differently.
Right. It really opened my eyes. Marcus, what percentage of the businesses that you've invested in are you still invested in?
That's a great question. So before the season that's about to start Tuesday, I've done 23 new businesses. 14 of them, actually, the deal went through. And of those 14, three have gone really bad, in a very bad way. Brooklyn Burger, Stein Meats being one of those, went really bad. They never turned over the Brooklyn Burger, and I turned over my money. The embroidery business in Queens which will be part of episode 2 this season. The guy lied throughout the episode, and somehow I convinced myself that he wasn't a liar. And sometimes a leopard doesn't change their spots. And I lost almost $400,000.
Oh, wow.
And so I think the most important thing for people to realize is this is not a television show. That's not its primary purpose. Purpose is for me to go in and do business and meet real people and make investments with my own money. And I think what happens with the viewers, they really want to know that you're not Superman. You're real, and you bleed, and you lose, and you fail, just like everybody else. And I think that's maybe what, at least what I'm hearing from people, that they appreciate the most, is the admission of failure and the admission of mistakes, rather than the recognition of success. So nobody needs to hear about how wonderful you are. They need to know that you make mistakes. Yeah, you have success, and you're really celebrating not your success, but the business's success. And it's kind of ironic how it works. When it works, it's the business. When it's a failure, it's me. and by the way, that happens to be correct. I make a mistake in judgment and trusting somebody. I make a mistake in an investment, and it happens. In the 2 years that we've done the show, I've lost well over $1.5 million in just making mistakes.
Mm. But that comes with the territory and what you're doing.
It does, but I watch some of these other shows that don't seem to want to acknowledge that. You know, the fancy paint goes on the wall, the carpet changes, you shoot a show in a studio, and everybody's, the deal happens or it doesn't happen, and you think it happens, and it's just, I'm just such not a fan of fabricated, kind of glossy television that I worked really hard and forced CNBC to acknowledge that's not how life works. It's just not.
Marcus, do you believe that almost any business can be fixed or saved, or have you come into contact with some that are real loss causes?
I believe that any business can be saved, but I do not believe that any business has the right people. And so sometimes I have to tell people that I'm there to save the business, not the business owner. And sometimes the biggest owner is the business's biggest liability.
Mm-hmm.
The business can be saved, but it oftentimes has to be reincarnated. It has to be, the product has to be transformed. If you need a business that sells 8-track cassettes and they're amazing people, you still can't sell 8-track cassettes because nobody's buying them. And so I think that is really something that people have to acknowledge. Any business can be saved, but things are going to change for sure.
So you bring up people, and I notice when these businesses are in trouble, there usually is an underlying, for lack of a better word, HR issue. Someone's in the wrong job. Someone is a liar. There's too many employees. There's an absentee owner, something like that you always encounter. And what I notice on you, that one minute you can be all Oprah, all warm and fuzzy. You know, you give a struggling working mom a title and a raise, and she cries out of, just out of appreciation. And the next moment, you're all Judge Judy. You're plunging the knife in, and you're a liar, and you're a thief. And how do you decide which way to go?
However I'm feeling in that moment, right? I mean, if you think about it, right? We all were raised by wonderful mothers, and our wonderful mothers can give us a death stare in one moment and a hug in another. And so we know that there's this range of emotion that can exist. And if you just really are true to the moment and not worrying about being self-aware, and I think that's the key, is that I don't really have a lot of self-awareness. I'm not worried about what I look like or what I say or how people perceive me. I just tell you exactly how I'm feeling in that moment. That you get that range. And when people are deserving of a hug or a raise or a pat on the back, you have to do it. When they're deserving of a swift kick in the fanny because they need tough love, you have to do it. And I think too often there's people that are on television that are trying to accomplish the same thing that are too worried about being perceived as too soft or too hard or too mean or too nice. And you're spending all this time instead of just being yourself and letting the facts drive your emotion.
Mm.
And that's kind of how I think about it. I always laugh about how my mom used to, give you that death stare from across the room. She didn't have to say a word, just you froze.
That was good training. Last question for you. I notice it's, if not all, mostly old school brick and mortar type businesses, which I love and appreciate, and it's the kind of things we can all relate to. Have you ever taken on a tech business?
I don't love tech. It's not because I don't think it's necessary for our society. I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And it changes so fast. And I wouldn't know if you were BSing me or not. And so my biggest challenge in technology is I don't really know if I know what I'm doing. So I have no tech, and I think I'm wealthier because of it, but then I invest in things like cupcakes.
Well, it makes for wonderful TV. The Prophet returns with all new episodes this Tuesday, May 12th at 10 p.m. One of my favorite shows. Truly a joy for me to be able to talk to you, Marcus. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congratulations on the new season. I wish you continued success. It's Leslie Gold for America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So how many mistakes have you made today? Probably at least three. Here's the social science of it.
One, two, five. Three.
Researchers have identified at least three types of common mistakes. The first, the assumption type. You leave out a critical piece of information and assume you did it right. Next, a selection mistake, where you switch things accidentally. And the final mistake, a capture mistake. You start one thing, something captures your attention, and you forget to do the first.
Spectacular mistake.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Routine is not your friend. Check your work, check your friend's work, and then get them to recheck your work. Create a checklist of what to do correctly and mark it off each and every time. That will reduce mistakes and keep you out of costly lawsuits. Got a question? You can contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think Green. Harrison with you. When California made global headlines several years ago for a landmark law requiring a 25% cut in industrial greenhouse gases by 2020, critics assumed the worst. Though climate change in this country is still under some debate, two studies show these green laws are actually benefiting California's economy and public health. Economic analyses now show the regulations are increasing economic production by $27 billion, overall gross state product by $4 billion, and overall personal income by $14 billion. Further, under the California Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006, 300 premature deaths will be eliminated statewide, avoiding almost 9,000 incidents of asthma and avoiding 53,000 workdays lost to illness.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.